From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id. Here's the news read by Steve. First, the headlines. Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan denies foreign workers dominating mining downstream projects. United States Forest Reserves visits Central Kalimantan and appreciates Indonesia's climate control. And here's the news in detail, read by Steve. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan denied that mining industry downstream projects in the country were dominated by foreign workers. As quoted by Antara in a video on his Instagram account on Wednesday, the number of foreign workers is now only around 10 to 15%. He also stated that those foreign workers were needed during the initial stage of mining operations. Nevertheless, he ensured that the number of foreign workers would decline as more local human resources were being trained for the downstream industry. Still from Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs expressed optimism that the government industrial downstreaming policy would help Indonesia suppressing the poverty rate in regions. Citing an example of Central Sulawesi's Morowali district, the minister stated that the downstreaming program implemented in the district had successfully helped Central Sulawesi province to lower its poverty rate from 14.7% in 2015 to 12.4% in 2023. As quoted by Antara Panjaitan on a video broadcast on his Instagram account at luhut.panjaitan as followed on Jakarta on Thursday, explains, according to data, the poverty rate there in 2015 stood at 14.4%. The figure then declined to 12.4% as per 2023. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya and United States Forest Service Randy Moore conducted a working visit to Central Kalimantan on January 24th concerning climate crisis management. As reported by Tempo.co, both of them inspected activities in the Forest Village Governmental Agency in Tuwung, Pulang Pisau Regency, Karang Bengkirai Village, Palangkaraya City, and the area of Semangau National Park. Randy Moore on Thursday stated that he appreciated Indonesia's action in anticipating and managing climate crisis. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi set the target for operational trial of the Nusantara Capital City Airport beginning in July. He inspected the airport development progress in the new capital city on Wednesday. As reported by Tempo.co, according to Minister Budi Karya, construction works and operational preparation will be conducted from January until July. The development will be expedited by adding more equipment, working hour, and finalization concerning lands. The new capital city airport will support governmental services and connectivities in the area. The airport is located 23 kilometers away from the new capital city's point zero and 120 kilometers from Balikpapan. The Turkish parliament voted Tuesday to approve Sweden's NATO membership bid, bringing the Nordic country one step closer to join the military alliance after 4 months of delay. As reported by CNN.com, of 346 members of the parliament who voted, 287 were in favor of Sweden's accession and 55 voted to reject it. Four others abstained from voting. The vote was the second step of Turkey's ratification process after the parliament's Foreign Affairs Commission approved the bid last month. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan can now sign the protocol into law. Emir Sheikh Mishal Al Ahmad Al Jaber Al Sabah of Kuwait issued a decree on Wednesday authorizing Deputy Prime Minister Sheikh Fahad Yusuf Al Sabah to serve temporarily as Prime Minister. As reported by ArabNews.com, he will stand in for Prime Minister Sheikh Mohammed Sabah Al Salim Al Sabah, who has been tasked with taking on responsibilities of Deputy Emir while Sheikh Mishal is out of the country. Sheikh Mishal became Emir of Kuwait in December following the death of his predecessor, Sheikh Nawaf Al Ahmad Al Sabah, at the age of 86. A Vietnamese diplomat emphasized the urgent need for an immediate ceasefire and appeal to the parties concerned to comply with Indonesian law, exercise maximum self-restraint, and avoid any action that may cause tensions or violence, and create a favorable environment for peaceful dialogue. As quoted by VOV World of VN Minister Counselor Nguyen Hoang Nguyen, Deputy Permanent Representative Vietnam to the United Nations attended a ministerial-level open debate held by the UN Security Council in New York on Wednesday to look into the Middle East situation, including the Palestinian question. In his speech, Nguyen expressed serious concern over the continuation and spread of complex development in the Middle East, particularly the escalating conflicts in the Gaza Strip. The diplomat also called on the UN Security Council to further augment efforts to promptly resolve the crisis. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with January 25, 1946, the day Major Daan Mogot was killed. Daan Mogot was an Indonesian freedom fighter and former Mitra of PETA, defenders of the homeland in Bali and Jakarta from 1942 to 1945. After the end of the Second World War, he became commander of the People's Security Army in Jakarta with the rank of Major. In November of 1945, Daan Mogot founded and became the first director of the Tangerang Military Academy at the age of 18. On January 25, 1946, he died in Lengkong Forest, south of Tangerang City, along with 36 other people in a battle against the Japanese army. They almost disarmed the Japanese army. He was later immortalized having a road that connects Grogol and Cengkareng in West Jakarta to the city of Tangerang, named after him. A monument at the site of Lengkong battle was also built to commemorate the Battle of Lengkong. We move to the next event on January 25th, National Nutrition Day in Indonesia. Nutrition Day is a commemoration and celebration for the Indonesian people. This commemoration is an effort to increase awareness about the importance of nutrition in food. Nutrition Day was formed to commemorate the establishment of a nutritional education school on January 25, 1951, which focused on empowering the next generation of nutritional educators. Since the founding of the school, nutrition education has continued to develop rapidly in many universities across Indonesia. From there, it was agreed that January 25 would be celebrated as Indonesian National Nutrition Day. We end with an event in 2010 when an Ethiopian Airlines plane crashed into the Mediterranean Sea. Ethiopian Airline Flight 409 was a flight that went from Beirut, Lebanon to Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. Tragically, on its way there, it crashed into the waters of the Mediterranean Sea, killing all 90 passengers and crew. This is the first fatal accident for Ethiopian Airlines since the hijacking of Flight 961 in 1996. The cause of this accident was thought to be bad weather. That's Today in History, read by Matthew Tui.
Bersandar sebentar selama ini kau.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the World, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Environment and Forestry Ministry launches logo for emission reduction certification. The Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry launched a logo for Indonesian Emission Reduction Certification, or SPEI, to support the existing carbon exchange. The logo, which was launched on Monday, included the combination of a leaf, a wind turbine, and a pen. They resembled the harmony and synergy among sectors involved in realizing the nationally determined contribution, a contribution to reduce greenhouse gas emission and adapt to climate change. The leaf represents the environment, the wind turbine represents clean energy, and the pen represents certification. The colors represent a clean and natural nuance, free from greenhouse gas emission, as well as courage and policy to overcome greenhouse gas emission. Ministry of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar convey the SPEI scheme was needed in domestic and international trade carbon based on the standard in national and international level. Therefore, the government also formed a team to measure, report, and verify, as well as methodology panel. Minister Siti Nurbaya also said the effort was done to ensure the SPEI scheme was carried out transparently, accurately, completely, consistently, and comparably while prioritizing environment integrity. The main assignment of the MRV team, among many, was making final observations on validation and verification by the validation and verification institution accredited by the National Accreditation Committee. While the methodology panel's responsibility, among many, is supporting the MRV team in identifying, collecting, and studying greenhouse gas calculation methods. There were some themes for certification because the SPEI implementation needs an interconnected system. Therefore, Minister Siti conveyed that her ministry and the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry share the use of National Registration System, PPI, and Apple Gatrick in supporting the greenhouse gas emission data management. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Terfikir olehku, aku pernah. rasa pada orang sepertimu. Seandainya sejak awal tak ku yakinkan diriku, tutur kata yang sempurna tak sebaik yang ku kira. Andai ku tahu semua akan sia-sia, takkan ku terima cinta sesaatmu. Bagaimana dengan aku terlanjur mencintaimu, yang datang beri harapan lalu pergi dan menghilang tak terfikirkan olehmu. Hatiku hancur kagumu tanpa sedikit alasan, pergi tanpa sebaik yang ku kira. Andai ku tahu semua akan sia-sia, takkan ku terima cinta sesaatmu.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, Probolinggo Regency is one of the main tourist destinations in East Java. The Regency is one of the entrances to Mount Bromo via Cemoro Lawang. However, Mount Bromo is one of many exciting tourist spots in Probolinggo. In the Regency, you can also find Marakaripura Falls. Despite being known for its beauty, it is said that Marakaripura Waterfall was where Gajah Mada, a great leader of the Majapahit Empire, meditated for the last time before he died. This is how the location got its name. Mada from Gajah Mada, Kari meaning heritage, and Pura meaning prayer or meditation. Based on this story, local people believe that Marakaripura Waterfall is eternal. The main reason is that the waterfall has yet to experience a drought. To get to Marakaribura Waterfall from Probolinggo City, drive towards the Brunga Hamlet. Its location is approximately 37 kilometers from the city center of Probolinggo. The Marakaribura Waterfall entry price is 33,000 rupiah, or about $2 per person. When you arrive at the entrance, there is still a bit of a trek to get to the waterfall. This journey takes approximately 20 minutes from the gate. With a height of 200 meters, the Marakaribura Waterfall is the highest waterfall on Java Island and one of the highest in Indonesia. Besides its height, the circular shape of the falls looks like a giant glass, perfect for photo opportunities. Another unique feature is that the water flows from the middle of the waterfall through narrow gaps in the cliffs, spraying water in every direction, making it seem like it's raining. The falls creates a natural pool under the waterfall. The water in the pool is a real treat for the eyes with its transparent blue colour. Shady trees in the area also provide a remarkable scenic atmosphere. This has been Indonesian Wonder, read by Maddie Toth.
Perjalanan membawamu bertemu denganku, ku bertemu kamu. Sepertimu yang ku cari, konon aku juga seperti yang kau cari. Ku kira kita asam dan garam, dan kita bertemu di belanga. Kisah yang ternyata tak seindah itu. Kukira kita akan bersama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kasih sayangmu membekas, redam kini sudah, pijar istimewa. Entah apa maksud dunia tentang ujung cerita kita tak bersama. Semoga rindu ini menghilang, konon katanya waktu sembuhkan. Akan adakah lagi yang sepertimu? Kukira kita akan bersama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kau melanjutkan perjalananmu, ku melanjutkan perjalanan. Kukira
kira kita akan bersama. Hati-hati di jalan,
listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Dear listeners, today's miscellany has topic, First Indonesian Model on the 2024 Paris Fashion Week Runway. Listeners, a good news that makes Indonesian proud comes from fashion. Raihan Fahrizal becomes the first Indonesian model to appear on the 2024 Paris Fashion Week runway. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno appreciated Raihan's achievement. According to Sandiaga Uno, this achievement is certainly a trigger for the Indonesian fashion industry to create a better fashion ecosystem in the future. The Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno also hopes that the country's fashion industry will continue to develop and advance so that it can become a host in its own country. The Indonesian fashion industry is expected to have strong competitiveness so that it can compete with international brands. This also applies to Indonesian Muslim fashion. President Joko Widodo wants Indonesia to become the world's Muslim fashion center. Until now, the fashion subsector is still the mainstay of Indonesia's creative economy export, with a contribution value to 61.5%. Raihan, a model who was born in Bandung, appeared on the runways of two international labels, namely Louis Vuitton on January 16, 2024, and Solid Home on January 17, 2024. Paris Fashion Week 2024 was held on January 16 to 21, 2024 in Paris, France, on the Louis Vuitton runway. Raihan presented the men's fall winter 2024 collection designed by Pharrell Williams, creative director of Louis Vuitton. Raihan looked stunning in brick red suit and loose trousers combined with a white shirt. Raihan's appearance was even more complete with snake-skinned patterned leather boots and a black bag that he carried along the runway. Dear listeners, that was Miscellany for today's editions. Bye-bye.
Sudah. kau dipanggil ibu, sementara aku ayah. Bertukar cerita hingga lelap mata, lalu datang pagi kau memasak, ku bekerja.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today's edition, I'm going to present to you a Kahitna, a group of music from Bandung. Kahitna was formed on June 24, 1986. Currently, the group initiated by Yofi Widianto has three vocalists, namely Carlos Sabah, Hedi Yunus, and Mario Ginanjar. The typical character of Kahitna is their music arrangement that combines jazz, pop, fusion, Latin, and ethnic, while their songs are mostly about love with romantic lyrics, just like their hits Cerita Cinta or Love Story. Cerita Cinta was about the early story of two lovers when they just met until they shared the same feelings and decided to be together. Well, listener, here is Cerita Cinta by Kahitna. Enjoy!
Berawal dari mata.
Voice of Indonesia.
Setahun kemarin, ku teringat ku menunggumu, bidadarimu. Of Indonesia.
Waktu ku genggam tangannya. Ku coba tanya sendiri, engkaukah permaisuriku? Mungkinkah mata hatinya menganggap tabir cintaku? Yakinkan hati kecilku. Mata pilih-pilah pikir-pikir kata cintaku. Kedua daun kupingku saya menyatakan, tunggu jawabnya pujaanku. Suka jiwaku izinkan ku jadi kasihmu impianku. Angan cintaku, biarkan ku mencintaimu. Mungkinkah mata hatinya menikah tabir cintaku?
jadi kasihmu impianku, angan cintaku, biarkan ku mencintaimu.
Izinkanku
jadi kasihmu impianku, angan cintaku. Bolehkah ku memilikimu, pujaanku, surga jiwaku. Izinkanku jadi kasihmu impianku, angan cintaku.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at VOI Indonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.